We may celebrate Mother's Day one day a year, but the impact our mothers have on our lives never wanes, and movies about mothers and mothering have remained a central part of the cinema for more than a century. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Sunset Film Society will present one of the iconic films about a strong woman and mother, the 1945 classic Mildred Pierce, this Sunday at noon at Artavino's Desert Crossing. And I'm happy to have the director of the Sunset Film Society, Jay Duncan, back on the program to discuss this great film and some other mother-centric films. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, of course, Mother's Day has just passed last weekend, but you're extending the celebration for another week. Never a bad time, I'd say, to watch Mildred Pierce.
Well, that's right.
This was not a hard choice, I'm guessing, when you start thinking about a Mother's Day celebration.
No, it wasn't, actually. I mean, you know, you could go off in left and right field and so forth with various mother movies, which we'll touch upon. But this one, I think, represents all that's good. And in this case, the mother's fine. It's just the daughter that there's problems with.
Which makes the mothering all that more
heroic. That's very true.
Set it up for us. This was a Warner Brothers film?
Warner Brothers. Actually, it was Joan Crawford's first film at Warner Brothers after basically being let go and being let out of a contract with MGM that she'd been involved with for 18 years.
Yeah, she'd been there, you know? Since the silent period.
Absolutely.
But her star had started to wane a bit.
It had. And so she was looking to maybe try new territory, examine properties and so forth. And Betty Davis originally was offered the part. No, I don't want to play a mother.
Classic especially. Feud between the two.
it was always there, and it never went away. And Betty Davis thought, no, I don't want to have an attractive daughter, you know, in competition with me on screen. So it became an opportunity for Joan Crawford, and she jumped at the chance. And this was her first nomination and her only win of, I think, three nominations. So this represents her really at her apex, I think.
1945, her career gets turned around
with
the single film at Warner Brothers, her first film at Warner Brothers, as you mentioned.
Sure.
The great Michael Curtiz directing.
Talk about a non-slouch director. You know, I mean, he had come off of things like The Adventures of Robin Hood and Casablanca and a couple other little films, you know, along the way.
One of the most beloved films of all time, Casablanca, just a few years before he made Mildred Pierce.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised when I talk to people, though, about Mildred Pierce. A lot of them, as great a film it is, and I consider it one of the finest films of the 40s, a lot of people don't know it.
That's true. It's not in the forefront, I think, of a lot of people.
Do you think that's because it's fronted by a woman and it's about a woman?
It could be, because based on the pedigree, you know, this period, Joan Crawford, Michael Curtiz, it's amazing that it isn't more widely known, I think. Mm-hmm. But we're going to change all that.
To see it is to love it.
That's right. There's a lot to really admire, not only about the film, the writing, the source material, James M. Cain, again, not a slouch. Postman Always Rings Twice, Double Indemnity, you know, he could put words together.
Some of the great mystery novels.
Absolutely.
And Pulp Fiction that became great film noirs. And this would be considered a film noir, I think.
It would, yeah. And in fact, I think it is very much a film noir in its look, in its attitude.
Beautiful black and white cinematography.
Yes. One of the five, I think it was nominated for five. And that was one of them, as was picture, screenplay, Randall McDougall. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it deserves to be seen, and it deserves, I think, to be seen in a society setting, you know, at Artavino's, and also to just relish not only Joan Crawford, but the whole ensemble cast, as well as a 16-year-old Anne Blythe, who just came to adore Joan Crawford and found it very difficult to say some of the lines to her. And some of the physicality that's involved in the film, too. She said it became a real chore because she really liked her.
Joan Crawford's on-screen best pal, Eve Arden, is a hoot. I mean, she's just fantastic.
When wasn't she? She's always this wisecracking, you know, just wonderful kind of biting dialogue. Is just perfectly suited to Eve Arden, you know, and she can do so much with that.
You know, for me, though, this is one of those great, I hate to call it a women's picture. It is about a woman, a rags-to-riches story, who overcomes tremendous obstacles in her lives to become an entrepreneur, builds up this restaurant chain.
A single woman.
Also fairly rare for its time.
Sure.
A divorced woman raising a child while also trying to create a great business. So it covers many years in the life of this family. as it's a murder mystery. But I always tell guys particularly, you're going to love this film.
And they do. I think it's just getting them to give it a chance. And they may be, some people may be just turned off by the title, by a woman leading, you know, actress in the role. But give it a chance because, I mean, it's as effective in many ways as the very best of all the film noirs that were done during the period.
And it's a sort of role we don't often see anymore, frankly, this incredibly strong woman. This came out in 45, so sort of the tail end of World War II. It would have been in production already. A time when women were much more visible in the workforce.
Yes.
I'm wondering if that was part of its popularity then, but also some of the backbone that we see in it that's lacking
true.
Today.
Because there's a certain strength in that in any character, but certainly in a woman's character, that you just didn't see in film much.
Right.
Certainly not after. Until the 50s, maybe.
We're going to be talking about other mothers and strong mothering types in movies, but it seems to wax and wane over the years. And it is astonishing to me, given the progress of women in our society, that we don't have more films like this today. But looking back at some of these classic films, it's interesting how Hollywood reinforced stereotypes about motherhood, but also challenged them. And I think this is a film that does both.
I agree. I think it certainly works on many levels and is certainly worth a second, third, or fourth look if you haven't seen it in a while. And certainly for people who have never seen it, I think you're in for a real treat.
Some other examples let's get into. You know, I know we've organized these titles under different headings, but the first one is we're calling Balancing Act. Really, the central feature of being a strong mother is to balance and juggle all of these demands on your life. A suggested title that people might track down?
Well, I remember Mama stands out among many, but that one certainly is a treasure. It's George Stevens, the director. You have Barbara Bel Geddes, who later generations will know her as Miss Ellie, I believe, from Dallas series. Mm-hmm. You have this wonderful assemblage of a Norwegian family, immigrants, and all the trials and tribulations and just getting through the day. Checking the bank account, and everything associated with it. And, of course, with the George Stevens touch, you know, you just can't go wrong with
pulls
this.
Pulls on the heartstrings.
Oh, it does. It does. It's a double box hanky, I think.
Not quite a weeper, but I got to thinking about the 2000 film from Steven Soderbergh. Aaron Brockovich was a great film that featured Julia Roberts as this different type of mom.
That's true. And based on a real-life person.
Real-life story.
Yes.
But she was a paralegal who really championed the small town that had been their groundwater had been polluted by a major corporation, and she's juggling raising these kids as a single mom while also fighting this enormous class action suit with the law firm that she was associated with, and just one of those great activist moms that's a multitasker and just incredible tenacity and uses every fiber of her femaleness to make things happen.
Yes,
in this
yes.
film.
She has the ammunition and she knows when to use it.
Right. Other titles that people might track down?
Well, you know, based in the Balancing Act, you know, I'd certainly recommend people checking out like As Good As It Gets. James L. Brooks directed in 1997. He, wonderful cast headed by Jack Nicholson.
And Helen Hunt. I
absolutely.
Think they both won Oscars.
I think so. It was a double whammy that year.
Another single mom story.
Yes. And then looking on the animated side from Pixar, Brad Bird's The Incredibles
from that
2004.
Film.
Smart. Totally unexpected, I think, in how how fine it was as far as a script. And
a fine example of Pixar, how multi-layered their screenplays are, because on the surface, it's this science fiction-y sort of throwback to the 60s action-adventure film with secret agents and people with superpowers. But this, at its core, the thing that pulls on your heart is it's really about this family coming together or pulling apart and
true.
Being pulled back together
yes.
by the mom,
right?
Which is at the heart of the story.
Yeah, it's very fine, worth checking out. Imitation of Life, both versions, you know, 1934 and 1959, directed respectively by John Stahl and Douglas Sirk. Another weeper that works generations apart here, you know.
Well, what's fascinating about that is it's look at race, too. You know, it's this single mom raising daughter or daughters, depending on which version, and their live-in help, and that woman's daughter.
That's right.
And as they grow and the struggles they both have, looking at it from very different perspectives.
Yeah.
One white, one black.
In both, you know, the black and white version with Claudette Colbert, the color version with Lana Turner, both worth checking out. And I think they're both available on a disc as a double feature.
You can't talk about balancing acts and sacrificing mothers without mentioning Stella Dallas, the 1937 Barbara Stanwyck, perhaps the greatest weepy of self-sacrificing moms in the movies. Another interesting category we were talking before the show is films about, particularly recent films, about unwanted pregnancies or young women who face unwanted pregnancy, and we're calling that category to be or not to be.
That's right.
Because the film is not so much about the birthing and the mothering, it's about contemplating what's to come during the pregnancy period.
And there's quite a number, and we'll hit upon a few of them here, that are very smartly written and very relevant, I think, for today's society, which are films probably in 2000 decade that would not have been attempted or touched upon maybe even a decade earlier.
Right. What's a good one?
Well, a good one is Juno.
Sure.
With Ellen Page. Just a knockout performance. Well-written, smart script, beautifully portrayed. You know, everybody may be familiar this year with J.K. Simmons, who plays her father in this film, but he's finally getting his due, I think, after many, many years. Not a household name, but everybody knows him when they see him on film. And he and Allison Janney, I think, the mother, are very, very fine in Juno.
I would mention Philomena, something at the other end of life, where we have Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, going back decades later to research what happened to her own child. She was growing up in a Catholic convent. This is based on a true story in Britain. Mm-hmm. But as a teenager, had an unwanted pregnancy, and the nuns took the baby at birth, and she never knew what happened. And so it's her sort of exploring what life could have been as a mother, but also trying to uncover this massive conspiracy of all these hundreds of babies that were taken from teenagers and what became of them. Great film.
Absolutely.
Very quickly, we have also Surrogate Moms. I know that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is a favorite of yours.
Well, yeah. You know, and truly, when you look at Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs now, and in the context of the story, she is the surrogate mother to these seven little folks here.
Not just domestically, but every other way.
That's true. That's very true.
I got to always mention Auntie Mame, one of the great surrogate mom films of all time from 1958, the 1958 version with Rosalind Russell. Make sure you check that
out.
That's hilarious. And, of course, mothers are central to a lot of horror films as well.
Right.
We could say Psycho and Carrie.
Rosemary's Baby, Angela Lansbury and the Manchurian Candidate. I mean, these are the flip side of...
Last year's The Babadook is an amazing film.
Seek it out.
Well, thanks to Artovino's Desert Crossing for hosting your monthly Sunset Film Society. I'm glad you all are showing tomorrow Mildred Pierce. Hope that goes well for you.
We hope so. We hope that we can introduce it to people that have not seen it before, and it can be a recurring favorite to those that are familiar with it.
I've been discussing famous mothers from the movies with film historian and director of the Sunset Film Society, Jay Duncan. Duncan will present the Sunset Film Society's Post-Mother's Day cinema treat, the 1945 classic Mildred Pierce, tomorrow at noon at Artovino's Desert Crossing. And directions and information can be found at artovinos.com. For more about the Sunset Film Society and its upcoming programming, log on to sunsetfilmsociety.org. For an expanded list of films discussed today and an archive of past programs, visit the station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.